Well, I enjoyed that. And, you know, there was more of that to come. And we're celebrating how to have the greatest year of your life. And we've got one more sermon in this series, and then Resurrection Sunday. Wow, what a great day we got planned. Got great things happening. And I'm so excited about you. And we got to get right after it, because I'm supposed to finish up this series. Can you believe it? I could preach on this probably the rest of my life, because this is a life message for me. But I want you to catch it. And you'll have to go back to last Sunday. I believe that was the 14th. You'll have to go back last Sunday to catch what I was saying about faith. Because if you miss this about faith, you're not going to get on board with us. And I want you to arrive at the same time. Right? And ski lifts keep going, don't they? But, you know, we want you to arrive together. Okay? And so go back last week and catch what I was saying about faith. But let me just encourage you a little bit about faith, because sometimes there's a big mystery out there, and sometimes preachers, I don't like this, have a way of presenting it, I got it, you don't. You're not going to get it unless you buy my olive oil that I've had faith over. It's got to be mine. Okay? Excuse me. I don't like that kind of stuff. You know, don't buy into that. You're just encouraging them. Okay? You can go to Wally World and get popcorn oil, and it'll work. But it's the symbol, and it's trusting God. I love you so much. Okay, let me get on with the message, okay, and not get after that. But listen, faith is available. It's not a big, deep mystery. Okay, it's not a big muscle that you got to wait 40 years before you can use it. That's not right. That's a wrong picture of faith. Let me tell you a simple picture of faith that will cause you to breathe and rest in the Lord and practice it, okay? Because I want to share with you in a simple way that will help you get up to the front line and swing the bat. It goes like this. When you receive Jesus, you received His faith. We operate off His faith, not our faith. It's not something we work up or make happen or emotionally get to a place where it kicks in like a guy. No. It's not like that at all. I want to tell you, we operate off of the faith of the Son of God. His faith. When you got Jesus, you got all of Him. You say, well, I don't see Him. Well, it's because He's in your spirit. We have a spirit, okay? We're a spirit. That's the real you. You have a soul. And the goal is to get the Jesus kingdom, the spirit in you, out of your spirit into your soul. And there is a valve there. Man, I preached 21 weeks on that. I don't have time to cover that today. But we are a spirit. We have a soul. And when you win your soul with the kingdom of God, you're wise. And you have a body. And the power and the love and the peace that's in your spirit, the Lord designed to come into your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and actually to affect your body. And that's why that the Lord loves shalom peace. It's wholeness, peace, spirit, soul, and body. And that's for us. And so what we're doing on this walk is we're learning how to go get the Lord that's full measure in our spirit, the full measure of God that's in you. His faith is in you. His joy is in you. His peace is in you. His love is in you. How to receive what we've already received. Right? We got to recognize it. We got to receive it. And then we respond by saying yes to it. Now, I'm saying this to you in a hurry, but there's believers that live their whole life that never get this. But I'm telling you, if you catch this, and the Holy Spirit will help you catch it, because He wants you to walk in abundant living. If you catch this, your life will never be the same. Amen. It's so exciting. But you've got it. What about faith? You got faith because you got Him. The Bible says you have a measure of faith. Well, I'm telling you what. It talks about that we have that same spirit of faith in us. It talks about that we have the same rank of faith. I'm telling you, you have faith more than enough. Jesus said if it was just the size of a mustard seed, it can move mountains. I'm telling you, you have more faith than what you're using. And that's part of the problem. We need to practice using what faith we have. All right? That's what it is right there. But there is a hurdle that comes in faith, and it's a tug of war with doubt, speculation, and unbelief. That's something for us to fight. And when the Bible talks about it, it's Hebrews 4, 11, when the Bible talks about the fight of faith or battling into rest, that's what it's talking about, to bring your mind, will, and emotions to the place that you receive out of your spirit what Jesus has said about the real you, all right? And that, you know what? You come to a place of rest. Everybody say believing. That's what the place of rest is, coming to the place of believing and guarding your heart and resting in what God is, what God says, what God's done. And it's amazing how the Lord manifests. And he makes things happen that you couldn't make happen with your own self-effort. Wow, that's pretty good preaching, I got to say it is. Okay, so the problem's not the size. Okay, recognize that he's in you. And you got all that you need inside of you to operate in this life and the next. That's so exciting. And we say yes to it. We rest in it. See, that's where Thanksgiving comes in. You receive. And you rest in it. You believe. And you practice giving thanks before it even shows up. Now, that's spiritual power when you speak it. Because that's part of what we do. It's activated when you speak it. And we're big on that because the Bible's big on it. And so the Bible says that we have already been blessed with every blessing in Christ Jesus. Now, I want us to see what the Bible says about faith to receive miracles from God, or in this series, how we can have the best year ever in 2021. All right? Jesus is not limited by last year. He's not limited by what the world report says. Hey, he's given a report. Whose report are you going to believe? Let's believe the report of the Lord. You believe it, speak it. You believe it, think on it. Meditate on it. It's very, very powerful. Matter of fact, I'm just going to give you a hint. That's our next series, is on how to meditate on God in his word. I'm telling you, we got to capture that before we can grow on. And so the Apostle Paul asked the Galatian Christians this question, and it's in Galatians 3:5. And he asked them, then does he who supplies you, I'm telling you, Jesus supplies you, God the Father supplies you with his marvelous Holy Spirit and works powerfully and miraculously among you. See, this is a question, and I ain't even finished the question, but I got to take a time out and show you what he's saying about the marvelous Holy Spirit that works among you. Matter of fact, this is assumed because this is normal Christianity. Okay? Man, I could ask a question right now. Do you recognize your life being more superficial or supernatural? Man, that's a good question, isn't it? It's a good, let's say it again. Do you recognize your life being more superficial or supernatural? There's a whole lot of people out there that talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Well, I'm telling you, let's let Jesus do the walking in us. And we'll see. I'm telling you, this is for us. And I just want to share real quick, you know, the Holy Spirit, and I really caught this last week and shared it with a couple of pastors that we love on, but it goes like this. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, he would come upon people for an assignment, and then he would leave. See, it makes a lot of sense when you see some Psalms. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. It's so good when you're here, you know, on an assignment. Because you see the power of God, the works of God, the words of God. The flow of God, don't leave. Old Testament, Holy Spirit would come upon them and then leave. Okay? In the time of Jesus, they experienced what it was like for the Holy Spirit to be with them because the Holy Spirit and Jesus were together. You remember? The anointing, Holy Spirit came upon him upon baptism. And I want to tell you, then he began his ministry in acts of power. And I want to tell you, the disciples saw what it was like for the Holy Spirit to be with them. And actually, Jesus would speak the Holy Spirit upon them. And you see that when they went on their ministry trips? Okay? You see that when he came back. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And this is what Jesus told them. He said, now the Holy Spirit will be in you. Big difference between Old Testament coming upon you and leaving, and even New Testament being with you as long as you were with Jesus or as he spoke it. You see what I'm doing? Hey, big difference. Now we have the Holy Spirit in us. I want to say it to you like this because this is the way it hit me. We have a marvelous advantage over any generation of the past. We have a marvelous advantage because the Spirit of Jesus dwells in us continually. And He wants to do what Galatians 3:5 is saying. This is what Paul is asking. This is assumed. So then does He, the Father, who supplies you with this marvelous Holy Spirit and works powerfully and miraculously among you. See, this is assumed. This is normal. Okay? This is continual testimony and experience of a believer. Does He do this, these marvelous works and works of power and miracles? Does He do these things on the grounds of your doing what the law demands, or because of your believing in and adhering to and trusting in and relying on the message that you heard? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing continually the Word of God. And so I want to tell you, faith is expressed and the Holy Spirit is released, cooperated with, when we practice believing the words of Jesus. Wow, that's good. Now, the Holy Spirit can be hindered. And this is what He's saying to them. The Holy Spirit can be hindered if you try to operate on what the law demands instead of depending on Jesus as grace flows. Big difference between the law demanding and grace giving. And He's telling them to put their focus on the words of Jesus because that's where grace flows. Paul was described, it was a contrast between the works of the law and the hearing of faith. The works of the law, the way I would explain it to you in simple terminology, is self-efforts. Your self-efforts in the kingdom. Okay? Hey, that's anti-God. Your self-efforts. I want to remind you that He hates mixtures like this. Okay? I can give you examples out of the Bible. I don't have time for that. And so, this has to do, because the law is all about your performance. You remember? It goes like this. Law demands, law demands, law demands. It goes like this. You must, you must, you must. And the law came through Moses like that, but it says that grace came through Jesus. And so grace shows up like this. Jesus says, I will, I will, I will. You see the difference? There's a big difference between you must and Jesus saying, I will. Hey, law demands, okay, and you can never meet the demand. That's what the law was for. It was to show you that you need God. And so the law demands, demands, demands. Hey, grace, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, supplies, supplies, supplies. Isn't that great? Man, I love that. I love that. Don't you love the Lord? You don't have to do the law and self-efforts, rules, and regulations in order to earn God's blessings. That's not the way it works. As a matter of fact, when you mix it, you nix it. Faith is the opposite. Just get this in your mind. Faith is the opposite of the works of law or self-effort. It's the opposite of. That's what he is saying in Galatians 3:5. And so it's not by, you see, they grew up in a religion that was law-based. It was about the law. And so he's trying to show them, don't go back there. If you mix it, you nix it. He's saying to them, let grace flow. Focus on Jesus and the supply. Keep your focus on the words of Jesus. And by listening to the words and soaking in the words of Jesus, faith is ignited. Faith comes. Faith is expressed. Okay, it's not something you work up. It's not something you earn or deserve. It's something that flows. And so faith can't have anything to do with self-efforts. If your self-efforts are involved, I'm just going to announce this, and boy, this could shake waves out in Christendom, but if your self-efforts are involved, it's no longer faith. We don't work up a sweat in order to make God do something. We don't work up an emotion for the kingdom of God to operate. Faith and self-effort are enemies. Can it be any clearer? So let me give you some pointers to point you toward faith. It goes like this. This is the right direction. If you have Jesus as your Savior, you have Jesus' faith. You can go, I have the faith of Jesus. I don't have to operate. I don't have to rely on my strength. I don't have to rely on my muscle, okay, or on my emotion. I have Jesus. I have Jesus' faith. We covered that last week. Go back and listen. Don't focus on the crisis. Focus on Christ. That's an important key right there. Don't focus on what you must do. What can I do? What must I do? In order for faith to operate, you focus on your shepherd. You say, well, Brother Tim, that sounds way too easy. Yeah, the Psalm 23rd Psalm is a lovable psalm, and that's what this series is based on us on. If you have Jesus as your shepherd, you have everything you need. Okay? And I want to tell you, when you focus on Jesus, your shepherd, guess what happens? I want to tell you, faith flows. You say, Brother Tim, that sounds too simple. Well, that's, you know, it's not by the complex that the kingdom of God operates. He chooses the insignificant. And I want to tell you, men come along with religion and want to make it complicated and want to make it a three-ring circus for you to obtain. No, you've already received everything that you need when you receive Christ. Our part is to practice it, is to rest in it, to believe for it, to focus on Jesus and not the object or not the battle. If you focus on the disturbance or your lack or whatever it is, you will soon be in fatigue. Oh, come on. You know, I'm preaching to the real deal. All right, if you're tuning in, this is not going to shock you. If you're here this morning, it's not going to shock you. Okay, there's a lot more entertainment you could get somewhere else. It's not entertainment. I'm trying to share with you some truth that will set you free. And I'm here to tell you, if you focus on man, you're going to be disappointed. If you focus on yourself, you're going to be depressed. What a small package that would be, all wrapped up in yourself. I'm trying to love on you with some truth. Shake off that and get your focus on the Lord. This is something everybody can do. Hey, do you dare think that our loving shepherd has said that he's promised, his promise is that he's going to chase us down with unfailing love, loving kindness, his goodness, and unfailing love? That very same God would ask you to do something that he wouldn't give you the power to do? Do you think? He's a good father. And if he asks you to do something, he's supplying the power to make it so. And he has, because it's the Holy Spirit that's come in us. We are a people of advantage because we have the very Spirit of Christ dwelling in us, wanting to flow from us. And if you believe it, say amen. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, see, it's real easy to depend on something about man and put God down below. For example, medicine. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for science. Thank God for medicine. Okay, but hey, listen, where's your heart? If you're depending on medicine to be your rescue, that's not right. If you're waiting for the next breakthrough in science to come in order for you to have a good life, that's not right. Put your focus on your shepherd. Hey, you're taking medicine, take medicine. You're looking at a man who takes medicine. I don't like it. I've told all my doctors, you're coming off. Oh, okay, Pastor, okay, okay. And sure enough, I've made some progress. But I want to tell you something. Hey, here's the deal. When you take medicine, you make sure in your heart that you're saying, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm taking this medicine trusting in you. I'm depending on you more than this medicine. And Lord, I'm trusting for a wholeness in you and a healing with you that the doctors will have to say to me, you don't need this no more. I want to tell you, get hope in your heart about, is it okay to believe God? Is it okay to trust God? Is it okay? Now look, if a person needs a crutch, use the crutch. But just as in Bible days, I'm saying to you, if you need medicine, take medicine, but use it like a crutch to get you to the healer. I had a doctor one time. This was back in the 90s, early 90s. A great believer. Man, he ministers the Word of God. And today he's ministering the Word instead of doctrine. That's how much of a believer he is. I just love him. But he looked me in the straight eye one day and he said, "My brother," he said, "let me just remind you, you have the Holy Spirit in you." He said, "So I'm going to pump you full of this blood pressure medication," because at that time it was out of sight. He said, "I'm going to pump you full of this. I'm going to give you everything I can give you until you and Jesus get this worked out, because he's your healer." Amen. I said, "Amen." What are you going to say? Either amen or oh me. They're both allowed here, by the way. You can say both. It don't offend me. But I'm telling you now, that's great. Okay? Man. He is grace. Do you know how you spell grace? J-E-S-U-S. Hey, let me help you today. You know how you spell faith? J-E-S-U-S. Because he's your faith. By the love of Jesus, I'm telling you, saturating yourself in him, being close to your shepherd, receiving what he feeds you versus what the world feeds you, putting your focus on him. I'm telling you, you can receive from Jesus everything that he paid for you to receive. May not come immediately. May come down the line. But I'm telling you, let's make progress in our receiving. Let's be great receivers. You've heard me say it 100 times. Christians are great receivers, not achievers. We're receivers. That's so simple. But his fellowship with you, I'm telling you, when you are close to the shepherd, don't follow from a long distance. Follow close, be close to the shepherd, and he's going to cause you to lay down in green pastures that are going to feed your soul. Anybody's soul thirsty and hungry? Anybody's soul in need? I'm telling you, out of your spirit will come forth the ministry of the kingdom of God to minister to your soul. And Jesus is everything that you need. He's your shepherd. I'm telling you, not only will his fellowship protect you, you see his fear out there promoted by the world and by everything else you can think of, I want to tell you, hey, Jesus is your protector. You know, it's the shepherd's job to protect the sheep. And when they're close to the shepherd, it's a whole lot easier for the shepherd to protect them because they are close enough to receive it. Those that run off, they're not listening to the shepherd's voice. They're making themselves available to the wild animals out there, to the things that an enemy has to destroy. I'm telling you, be close to your shepherd. Not only will he protect you, but he will propel you forward in peace. I'm telling you, this world needs peace. I minister to believers most of the time. And you know, one of the main things that we minister to believers is peace. And guess what? Jesus said, "I am your peace. I'm in you. I give you peace. Not that the world gives, is what I give you is real peace." And it's not just a situation without the immediate conflict. I'm telling you, it's Jesus setting a table before you in the very presence of your enemies. Is that real? He's real. Let him be real to you. And let him minister his peace to you. I want to tell you one of the greatest causes of sickness, and it's all right if you don't agree with me, but I've done a little study on it. I've announced it a number of times. One of the greatest causes of sickness is stress. Man, I tell you what, when you focus on the goodness of God, you're going to say, "I am too blessed to be stressed." I want to tell you, is that real? Let it be real. "Well, Brother Tim, that's not real with me." Well, let it be. All right, because Jesus has promised to minister his peace to you. And guess what? There's a lot of people saying, "Where's my next? Whoa, what about, where's my provision?" I want to tell you, not only is he protect you, not only is he your peace to your soul, but I'm telling you, he's also your provision. It's a shepherd's responsibility to find the pasture. It's not the sheep. Amen, Brother Tim. Okay, well, let me just kind of get personal. Okay, because that's what pastors are supposed to do. Okay, listen to me. Listen with your heart. You're not alone. You're not alone. I know it may feel like it. I know it may think it sometime. You're not alone. Your Lord Jesus is your personal shepherd. He knows your circumstances better than you do. And he is seeking you out. That's what 23rd Psalm says. He is seeking you out. And so he knows your pressure. You see, he's a great high priest. He knows your pressure. He knows your stress. He knows that his heart is filled with love and compassion for your pressure and stress. And his love can chase away the anxiety that rests upon you. His love chases it away. Well, Brother Tim, it hadn't happened for me. Well, let it be. Okay? Lay the junk down and let Jesus be Jesus to you, because the Word of God is a promise that his love in you, upon you, with you, will chase fear, anxiety out the door. His heart is filled with love. And guess what? He has compassion towards you. Every now and then, humanness jumps up on me when we've dealt with things over and over again. And some spiritual leader will come up with an elementary problem. And sometimes I go, I can't believe. Where's the Word in this person's life? Because if you're receiving his Word, you receive peace. What's the deal? What are you so afraid? Sometimes that, boy, it burns in me. But listen, Jesus is the perfect shepherd. And I want to tell you, he has compassion for you. I got compassion for you. Sometimes I don't have pity for you. I got compassion for you. Because I know it can happen to anybody. It can happen to us. You never get too spiritual where it can't happen. You get your thoughts off the Lord, and I'm telling you, you can get there. But I'm here to tell you this, is that he has compassion toward you. He's not waiting for you to get your act together. I can't tell you how many people relay something similar to that. Well, I get myself together and everything, and then I'm going to come to God. No. You come to God just the way you are. You can't get your act together enough to perform enough good works to have faith to qualify for his help. Did you catch that? Don't make me repeat it. I got to run, okay? Hey, let me announce this to you. You already qualify for his help. You already qualify. Why? Because you're already qualified. You're qualified because you've been justified by Jesus. Man, let that say yes to you somewhere deep down. If it's saying yes deep down, say it out. Okay? You've been justified. Why? Because you're in him. Man, it's not complicated. It's not deep. It's what Jesus has done. And so you're clothed in Jesus' robe of rightness. And I want to tell you, you look good that way. Our little grandkids, my little Lovey, our first lady, has gotten all the grandkids these superhero outfits. And man, they got the mask. You remember, Haley? They got the mask and got the cape and everything, got the little outfits. And I want to tell you, you ought to see their personality come forth when they get the mask and the cape on. Hey, they walk in there, see Papa T, and they take the pose. And when they run, their arms are out and the cape's flying. And you just see them come up. I love it. You know why? Because when Christians realize how we're really dressed, that we're really dressed in the superhero of all heroes, Jesus himself, because we have his robe of righteousness on. And I want to tell you, when the darkness sees the robe of righteousness, they run. The only time they don't run is when we don't realize we have it on. They can tell. Okay? Hey, this is not deep. I'm telling you, this is for you. The more I look at him and I look to him, faith springs forth. It's something the Holy Spirit does. I'm transformed seeing him. You are transformed seeing him. This is why we tell you, see Jesus in the Word. Okay? When you pray, see Jesus in the prayer. Or when you praise, see Jesus when you praise. Just don't sing the memory songs. You've got them all memorized. Okay? You don't even need to look at the screen. You've got them all memorized. But I'm here to tell you, don't focus on the words. Focus on him. Do you see Jesus when you praise? How about when you pray? How about when you're in the Word? See God in the Word. by grace, J-E-S-U-S, through faith, J-E-S-U-S, speak what he says. Speak what he shows you about you. Speak what he says about you. We believe, so we speak. Look, it's not complicated. We practice it in Mountain Movers meeting, our prayer meeting every week, that you know what? Because of what Jesus has done and the victory and authority he's given us, we bind the bad and loose the good. It brings him honor and glory. We're agreeing with Jesus and his words by what he wants for people. And you bind the bad and loose the good. Well, Brother Tim, I just don't know. Yeah, you are qualified. He made you qualified. And with simple childlike faith, I'm telling you, you speak it so. Anxiety comes, you bind the bad and loose the good. You bind up anxiety and fear and you loose the love of God that chases away all fear. Hey, stress, sickness, same thing. Financial needs, same thing. Well, Brother Tim, I got my heart hurt this week. I was so thankful for one of our men this past week. Boy, somebody just did them wrong song, big time. And you know, when it's a friend, it sneaks up on you. And I want to tell you, he quickly forgave. And because he quickly forgave, within a couple days, he was able to minister to the same person that did them wrong song. Is that great news? I want to tell you, that is powerful. But if he had never bound the bad and loosed the good, then when that opportunity came a couple days later, he wouldn't even answer the phone. Are you with me? I am telling you how exciting Jesus is in her. Hey, lean on him with simple childlike, yes, David did. Let's look how he did in Psalm 42. Thank you for giving me enough time to do this. Psalm 42, this is so powerful. And we love the psalm. We love Psalm 42. David was so open and honest. You're going to identify. Okay, we're going to learn some things about ourselves and about the Lord in this, if you'll stay with me. As the deer pants, that's what a hart is, it's a deer. As the deer pants and longs for the water brooks, so I pant and long for you, O God. Now, this is the normal state of a believer. Is hunger and thirst for the Lord. Are you thirsty for God? I want to tell you, that ought to be a simple yay or nay. An amen or an oh me, it ought to be real simple. Are you thirsty for God? Because I'm telling you, don't wait till crisis and then say, I need a little water of the Word because I'm getting all beat up and everything. Don't wait till then. Hey, the normal state is peace. The normal state is joy. The normal state is love. And then when stuff comes, I want to tell you, we respond a whole lot better when you're coming from peace. Let peace be the continual umpire in your heart, not just during a crisis. Man, I got some stuff on that. I'm telling you, that could be a series all by itself. Thirst for the Lord. Thirst for Him. Hunger for Him. I want to tell you, have you ever experienced this, that, you know, there's times that I get out and get busy and get, and I believe in hydration. Okay, you're around the halls, you know, you hear about hydration and that how important that is. But I want to tell you something. There's been times I get too busy and everything, and then I think, you know, there's my water bottle sitting right there, but I hadn't had a drink in a while. Well, I guess I will take a drink. And I take a drink of water, and all of a sudden I realize how thirsty I am. Have you ever done that? Come on now, get with me on this. How about eating? Hey, you know, there are days that I don't have time for lunch. And I was in one meeting, and it was about 2 in the afternoon, and they said, well, I guess you had lunch. I said, I don't get lunch on this day. Okay? But you know what? You get so busy, and you go on, and the beautiful blonde comes along there around supper time and says, have you eaten? I said, no, I didn't have time today. And she said, you ought to eat some. I said, ought to. And she'll bring a nacho and put down in front of me. And I can tell her, you know, I really don't feel hungry. But I eat that nacho and I say, my. I didn't realize how, hey, come on. Get with me on this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You don't have to go on a fast from the Lord. We're to feast on Him. I want to tell you, the crucifixion was all about giving us continual 24/7 access to Him. I'm telling you, that curtain has been torn. We have free, continual access to Him. And I want you to continually taste and see that the Lord is good. Continue to drink of that water. Stay thirsty, my friend. That sounds like a commercial of some kind, but well, I guess y'all know it. But what I'm trying to tell you, this is the normal state for a believer, is to be thirsty for the Lord and hungry for the Lord. Tell me you are. And if you're not, see, I had a man in one of my meetings one time come up and you just confess, Mr. Evangelist, I just got to say to you that my heart used to be hungry and thirsty for the Lord, but it's not been in a long time. And you know what I told him? I said, repent. It's a kingdom operation. We are in a great time of grace. All you got to do is repent. Turn your heart from coldness toward Him and its own. And he said, is it that simple? I don't have to do a bunch. No, no, no. It's not our doing to get, is it? I'm telling you, He's given us grace to just receive. He paid the price for us to receive a fresh touch of desire in our heart. And so I want to tell you, if you find yourself not hungry, not thirsty, I'm telling you, in Jesus' name, turn your heart toward Him and say yes. And when you tell Him, Lord, honestly, my heart's cold, and Lord, You designed my heart to be a fire for You, and it's not, I surrender to You. It's on, my friend. That's not deep, is it? So point your heart toward the Lord. Focus your thoughts, your mind on Him. Confess with your mouth, Jesus. Look at verse 2. My inner self thirsts for God. This is where we need to be. Find yourself every day thirsting for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? I want to tell you what's beautiful here. He's seeking. I want to tell you, when you turn your heart and seek God, He sees you seeking. He's seeking for seekers. You remember us saying that in this series? He is seeking for seekers. So when you seek Him, it's on. It's on. And well, I can answer this question for David, because you may be asking the same question. And when will I have some breakthrough and behold the face of God? I'm saying to you, soon and very soon. Soon and very soon. Because that's the heart of God for you. Look at verse 3. Have you been here? I've been there. My tears have been my food day and night. If you've been there, raise your hand. While men say to me all day long, where is your God? I'm telling you, I got so many examples of this, and I just shared recently about a pastor's wife, another place, another date, another time, that absolutely just, I'm going to say, emotionally threw up on me. And you know what? Hey, her statement was, you've served God your whole life. What have you got to show for it? Nothing. She answered it, nothing. You got nothing to show for it. I tell you what, I turned around and said, you know what, I'm one of the blessed men on the face of the earth. There's a big difference between the cursed man and the blessed man. Where's your view? Because I want to tell you, when you turn your heart toward God, I want to tell you, tears may go through the day, tears may go through the night, but joy's coming in the morning. I'm telling you, God will show Himself mighty to you. He's chasing you down. Do you remember Psalm 23? He's chasing you down with His goodness and loving kindness. And so look, but the answer is here. These things I earnestly remember. Now, I want to tell you, I'm fixing to do this series on meditation, and you want to capture meditation, the power of meditation on God. When you meditate on God in His Word, great things happen in your life. Great success comes to your life. And I'm here to tell you that we got to catch this series. It's coming up soon and very soon. That sounds like a sermon. But here we go. I meditated on, I earnestly remembered. That's what meditating is on. I earnestly remembered and poured myself out within me, okay, how I went slowly before the throng and led them in a procession to the house of God like a bandmaster before his band, timing the steps to the sound of music, the chant of song with the voice of shouting and praise, a throng-keeping festival. Let me tell you what he's talking about. I think I know the very event that he's talking about, but I can't prove it because David's not here for me to ask. I think he's talking about when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the Jerusalem, because it was a great celebration day of celebrating the goodness of God and the power of God, and that the Ark of the Covenant was coming back to the place where it needed to be. And I want to tell you, I think it was such a great celebration. I want to preach on that one day for you, because there is a thought that about every seven steps they stopped and offered sacrifice. Now I want to tell you, it was a number of miles. Okay? And I want to tell you, if that's the case, and it was an all-day celebration to the Most High God. And there was great leading of praise and thanksgiving and celebration. This is what he's doing. He's remembering the great days of victory in his past. And he's rehearsing them. He's remembering them. He's reflecting on them. And that is how you encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm telling you, you already know this. Pastor James doesn't carry the piano around following you all day long. Oh, wouldn't that be fun? Somebody a little mean, weather not too bad at your house, too good, then James just crank up on the piano and encourage you. I mean, that's not the way it works. Okay, I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit is within you. We have the advantage, and you can encourage yourself in the Lord. And this one of the ways that you do that, you remember his presence, you remember his works, you remember his words to you, you practice remembering who he is. This is how to encourage yourself in the Lord. And all the people said, amen. Look at verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my inner self? Well, I'm telling you, it can get there, can't it? Sometimes you can't even figure out why. How did I get here? Why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Don't your inside self cry like a little baby sometime? Yeah. Oh, really? Now, come on now. Yeah. Stay with me. Hope in God is what he says. Put your hope in God. Change channels. Turn the direction of your heart. I want to tell you, we all get in that moaning, groaning, self-pity party that no one else wants to show up at. Okay, and I want to tell you, here's the deal, what David is saying. I'm going to rush and say this because time's moving, and I'm going to say it like this. You know what? You can be in charge of your emotions. I tell you what, psychology don't tell you that. Well, they get around to it. But first they want to owe me, oh, bless you. Okay, well, just how you feel. Let's talk about how you feel. How are your emotions when it's... Look, I want to tell you, you can be in charge of your emotions. Your emotions are not supposed to be the engine. They're supposed to be the caboose back there. And I'm telling you, you got to do what David did that a lot of believers in this year don't like to do. But it goes like this. You got to tell your emotions where to go. Man, we ought to understand that. Let me say it in another way. You got to be able to talk tough to yourself and tell your emotions to shut up. Oh, come on now. Grow up. Be tough. You know what you tell your kids? Now, I know you're upset. I know you're upset. I know you're disturbed. But you know what? You're going to have to be tougher than that. You're going to have to lay that down. Let's do what's right now. Well, I'm telling you, you need to talk tough to yourself like you would a kid. Apparently, our emotions still need training, right? They're acting like a little kid. And you know what? It's just okay to be tough on your emotions and tell them, shut up. I'm going to praise God. You tell your emotions what direction to go. If you don't, where are they going to lead you? I'm telling you, they can lead you into a place where you're like a termite in a yo-yo. You don't know which ends up. Put your hope in God. Tell your emotions to get in submission to God. And you practice remembering his works. Make your soul happy in the Lord. And do the battle till you win. Don't quit till you win. Look what David says. Put your hope in God, emotions. Let's wait expectantly for him. For I tell you what I'm going to do. Let me tell you what my emotions are going to do. They're going to praise him. He's my help. He's my God. Somebody say something. I want to tell you, the storm's temporary. So don't camp out there. Don't become a fan of the storm. Don't enable wrong emotions. By giving them your vote. Okay? Vote against them. Speak against them. The storm's temporary. You know what? Your problems have an expiration date. Thank you. And I'm just going to announce something to you. Some of the expiration dates have already gone out, but you've made them your friend. and you said, I know this has gone on way too long, but, you know, you're my friend, and you're just going to hang here with me because you identify yourself with that problem. I'm telling you, okay, here we go. Verse 6. Oh, my God. Now, listen to this. He's being very open and honest with God. And this is where you want to take those emotions that don't behave. You want to be open and honest with God. Do not get open and honest on Facebook with your emotions and be psychologically naked on Facebook. Hope we didn't get cut off on that one. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's never scripture that says be psychologically naked to the whole world. You're not supposed to do that. All that does is reinforce where you are with applause from somebody. Hey, take it to God and be honest and open with God. All right? Oh, hey, my life is cast down before me, but I find the burden more than I can bear. You go have a long walk and talk with God, and you just pour out those emotions. Get them before God. Because when you get them out of here before the throne, then He can minister life to you. If you hold on to it and pretend it's not there and it don't happen, I want to tell you, He's waiting on you. What we do is practice openness and honesty before God and get it before God, and then He can minister life in that place. It's a principle of replacement. He's not going to be able to replace where you are until you get it before Him. Wow, that's okay. And I got to preach on. Look what He does. Okay, this is what He said. This is what I will do. Because I'm in such an emotional mess, this is what I'm going to do. Therefore, I will earnestly, somebody say determined. See, this is what you got to do. And I'm announcing to you, this is what a lot of believers are not willing to do. They're not willing to be determined about this battle. Well, I feel this way, so I must be this way. No, you feel this way because you think wrong that way. All right? You've had wrong input. You've thought it enough where that the emotions kicked in on it. But I'm telling you, that can stop. You can reverse that. Okay? And what He says to do is that this is what I'm going to be determined to do. I'm going to fight this fight till I win. Or do you want to be depressed for years? Really? Man, y'all look at me in a better tone of voice here. Here we go. I earnestly remember you from the land of the Jordan River, the summits of Mount Hermon, and from the little mountain Mizar. Now, I want to tell you what these are. These are places of great victory in His life where the Lord showed up in might and showed up in power and gave Him victory in spite of Him. This is the Lord's victories in His life, and He's rehearsing these and remembering these, and He's confessing these with His mouth until His emotions line up the right way. Bind the bad, loose the good. We need to bind up bad emotions. And then we need to fight them with good emotion. Don't just sit there and wait till they go away. Man, what a deal that is. Excuse me. Okay, verse 7. How am I doing? Woo, it's time. Okay, let me get through Psalm 42. I'm going to hurry. So listen in a hurry. Roaring deep caused a roaring deep at the thunder of your waterspouts. And I just want to tell you, I'm going to say it like this, go deeper in Him. Go deeper in Him. There's so much deeper than what you are swimming in. You see, I see it every year with the teens, and Code and R.E. are here, can remember this. But, man, when it's swimming time, I'll tell you what, Anthony and Hope, as soon as the back door is open, they run and land in the water. They want to be the first one in because they know I honor that and I'm going to reward that. Somebody going to get a door sample. Door prize, isn't it? Somebody going to get a door prize. I told him one time, first one in gets $5,000 because, you know, the pool was cold. It was a little early for swimming season. I said, first one in gets $5,000. And, boy, there were splashes. I mean, Hope and Anthony, boy, they was in. And I said, just joking. I don't have $5,000. Okay, but let me tell you something. That's what Kingdom of God wants to see. Kingdom of God wants to hear you say, I'm going to the deep end. I'm going deeper with God. Some of the teens don't want to mess up the hair, you know. Little girl don't want to mess up their hair. So they sit on the side of the pool and just get their feet wet. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, that's the way Christendom is. There's some that just don't want to get totally involved because it might be cold, might be something requested of them, or might be uncomfortable. So they sit on the side with their feet in the water. That's where a lot of Christians live. I'm telling you, deep calls to deep. The Lord is saying, come on, there's a diving board here. Let's go deeper. And that's all I got. I can say on that, and there's a whole lot more I want to say. And let me just confess to you, I get tainted sometimes. Okay, by the world, I get tainted sometimes. And when I recognize, man, my mind going the wrong direction, my emotion, I'm having to battle with that, then you know what I want to do? I go take a long shower in the Word of God. Are you with me? I tell you what, I get through mowing up here during the summer, and man, it's hot, and I'm wringing with sweat. One of the first things I do is go get in the pool when I get home. I want to tell you, when you get tainted, go for that long shower. Go for that deep swim. Let's go deeper. The Lord is calling you to deeper. Oh, there's so much more I want to say on that. Wow. Hey, your breakers and your rolling waves have gone over me. And I'm just going to announce this to you. What appears to the world, because see, the world's afraid to come to God. They're afraid it's a water spout, that it's going to be destructive, that God's going to whip me if I come. No, He wants to love you. And when we come to Him, and believers ought to know this, ought to be confident in the goodness of God that they've been forgiven. They come running to Him and not from Him, but they come running to Him. And God's goodness and His love overwhelms us with waves of His love and His goodness. And He is bigger. He's big, He's bigger, He's greater. He overwhelms us with Himself. Man, that's so good. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness to chase us down. Is that right? In the daytime. I'm telling you, and in the night His song shall be with me. He's going to love you with a lullaby at night. I told the beautiful blonde the other day, I know that I'm in good shape in my soul. When I wake up in the night, I need to make a little trip, and you know what? I have a song on my heart. You know what? That's good. I know I'm in good shape when that alarm goes off about half a day before yours does. And when I get up, and you know what? I got preach in me. I'm telling you, His Word's been ministering to me through the night. I know I'm in good shape. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to tell you, this is God. He'll love on you during the night. And a prayer to the God of my life. It's so sweet to wake up and you're already talking to Jesus. Well, that's just not my life. Well, let's seek Him. All right, sweet communion. Refreshing times with Father. This is what He's talking about. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? See, this is where He bounced the other way. Does that happen? Can that happen in one day? Can it happen in a morning? Can it happen in an hour? Can it happen in a few minutes? I knew one young lady was on my staff one time, and man, she was having such a great time in the Lord. She was growing and making progress, and somebody ran into her and wrecked her car, and I want to tell you, you thought it wrecked her life. She couldn't get over it. That God would allow somebody to wreck her car when she was loving Him. Well, I'm telling you, if that's all it takes, the enemy's got all kinds of stuff stacked up for you. I finally tried to tell her, you know, God didn't wreck your car. He saved your life. There's something to give thanks for here. It's just metal. I know you're proud of the new car, but it ain't going to heaven. She couldn't get over it. Never did. Tailspin of despair. Can that happen to any of us? Why have you forgotten me? Don't it feel that way sometimes? Can you get that way? Yeah, but it's a lie. Okay? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? The enemy is a liar. And the stuff he puts on you is lying symptoms. Man, I told leadership or somebody the day, I've shared with so many people, I don't remember, maybe it was Mountain Movers Club, that, you know what, if it happens on Sunday morning, I just assume it's a lying symptom. Trying to keep us from meeting, from the Word of God, from coming together. Hey, it's temporary, it don't feel good, but I'm telling you, faith wins over feelings. Let it be so. And with the sword crushing in my bones, I want to tell you, those swords are tongues. You know they are. That old saying, it's a lie, you know, sticks and stones hurt my bones, words never hurt me. Liar, liar, that's a big lie. Words hurt. And I tell you, people will use their tongues to just cut you up. My enemies taunt me and reproach me while they say continually to me, where is your God? I want to tell you, it makes a big difference. If they're talking bad about you, making fun of you, being offensive to you, and it's because of your God, because of your living godly. Don't you dare equate you being rude, crude, and ugly, and people coming back at you as I'm suffering for Jesus. No, you're not. You're being foolish with your tongue. You're being foolish with your choices. Don't put God on that, because he ain't. Let what you do be for the honor and glory of God. If not, it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's never making it to heaven. Man, I've been needing to say that. I hope you understand what I'm saying. He is present, and he's chasing me down with goodness and mercy and love expressions. Why are you cast down, O my inner self? That's a wrong place to be. I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to put up with that. Why should you moan over me? You being all loud, crying like a baby. Shut up. Be disquieted. You're just barking when you shouldn't be. Shut up. I'm going to put my hope in God. I'm going to wait expectantly for him. If it doesn't happen in the minute or the hour or the day, I'm going to continue to seek the Lord, okay, till I win. For I shall yet, this is what's coming. Somebody say soon and very soon. I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. I am not going to frown. I'm going to be smiling and reflecting the glory of God. He didn't bring me this far to leave me. He's leading us through the valley. His voice will comfort you. Recognize him because he's present. Receive him because he wants to love on you. Respond to him by saying yes to him deep inside. No matter what the temporary and the visible says, say yes to God. And have hope. When he says put your hope in God, hope's the confident expectation of good, of God's goodness coming to your life. I want to tell you, that's how you have hope. You put your focus and your mind on the goodness of God until hope springs up. Hope's a part of faith. He's already in your future. This is how 2021 can be the best year of your life. He's already in your future to do you good. Put your hope in the goodness of God. Psalm 34, I tell you what, it's so good, I really don't have time to read it. Read Psalm 34, 17 through 19. I think it's in your notes. Oh, that's so good, because we become what we behold. Would you listen to that again? We become what we behold. Are you depressed? What are you beholding? Are you discouraged? Who are you beholding? Are you depressed? Well, get your focus off yourself. Don't behold yourself. Behold your God. Get your focus on God. Let Jesus be your shepherd. Let him be the center. Focus on him. He hears your heart. He is the way of escape, your way of rescue. That's what he is. He's close. He's not far away. He's close. He's very present. He hears your heart. He wants to heal your heart. And through many troubles, he's your protector. He's your provider. He's your guide. And so that's why we follow the shepherd closely. That's why we follow the Son in 21. All right? For the best year ever. Let Jesus be your shepherd and respond to him. Recognize him. Hey, receive him and respond to him. Let Jesus be Jesus in your situation and watch God be God. That's our Lord. Can we give him an applause? Can we give the Lord a thank you? Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your patience staying with us. And we bless you this week in Jesus' name. Amen.